Let's take our Bibles as we continue our reading through Ezekiel. I know it seems like a long book, but we're already done with chapter 1. How about that? That's some progress. We're not in a hurry. But I'd like to read this time in Ezekiel chapter 2, and even though it's not that long of a chapter, I'm just going to cover verses 1 to 5. And here's where we see Ezekiel's call as a prophet. Whenever you read a book, you like to know a little bit something about the writer. And I've always said the writer was Ezekiel because the Spirit directed him to write what he did. But the author is God himself. It's the Spirit of God. This is God's inspired word. But here we have his calling as a prophet. And I'll begin with verses 1 and 2. You see the word and, so disregard the chapter divisions. Those were put there to help us find our place in reading around 1500 some. But in the original Hebrew, it's just one big scroll. And so and is a continuation of what we saw previously. He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. There's nobody that can speak for God or speak for Christ unless spoken to. And here we see then his authority to go and declare what he's about to declare. He said, and the Spirit entered into me. And again, I don't know why the translators here did not put that in capital S, because it should be. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me up upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. So we see here that Ezekiel is commanded to stand, but not only commanded to stand, but enabled. When the Lord says stand up, it's like he said to the lame man, take up thy bed and walk, that everybody might know that I, the Son of Man, have power on earth to forgive sins. With the command came the power. And that's what we see here with Ezekiel. He said unto me, and as I said, there's no chapter divisions in the original writing of Ezekiel, so we don't want to miss the fact that Ezekiel, here being called to this prophetic work, came from this overwhelming vision of God that we studied last time. The description is well beyond what we could ever think as far as who God is. But then we see his holiness, we see his justice, we see his sovereignty described in the wheel that he saw. This is all symbolic. And now the cherubim that we saw described. Imagine all of this. And what happened to Ezekiel when it says Son of Man? Well, the reason he told him to stand up is because we find him in the last chapter actually bowed down because of everything that he saw. You see that in verse 28 of Ezekiel 1? When I saw it, when he saw the revelation of God, which I believe is a revelation of Christ, is what he saw, I fell upon my face and I heard a voice of one that spake, and he said unto me. So you can see the connection there. So he was flat on his face until such time as the Spirit strengthened him and cause him to stand up. Now that term, Son of Man, is the first of actually 93 times we're going to see this term in the book of Ezekiel. 93 times. You can look that up in a concordance and count it. But this particular phrase indicates, when it says Son of Man, it's a man among men. So you've got men, but here is the Son of Man. Here is the man among men. And all the way through here, we're going to see how Ezekiel is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because more than any other phrase where the Lord Jesus Christ identified himself to those he came and spoke with is this term, Son of Man. Not Son of God. He was the Son of God, but he came as the Son of Man. In fact, in the Gospels, it's recorded some 80 times. So here in Ezekiel, we got 93 times Son of Man is used. In the Gospels, 80 times. with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was typified in the Old Testament by the prophets, the priests, and the kings. And so here's Ezekiel, a man among men. Christ is the man among men. That's why he took on flesh as the Son of Man. And it's a Hebraism that indicates actually partaking of the nature of man. So here we have Ezekiel as a man, as a prophet, and yet he was not to be elevated among men. He partook of the same, he was of the same nature as those to whom he was preaching. And that's what it is for Christ to become a man. He was every bit man as if he were not God, but still he never stopped being God. He took on flesh, took on humanity. And that's why that word, that term is used. So here we have this command, stand upon thy feet. Again, we saw where he was flat on his face, and now he's told to stand. And standing is what you do in the presence of royalty. Whenever you're bowed and then they say, stand up, you're about to get a commission. I think of a military situation where a commander, you're standing at attention. You're not slouching. And that's the picture we have here of Ezekiel. He's about ready to receive orders from the commander-in-chief, which is none other than Christ himself. And here it says, the Spirit entered into me. Again, that's the Holy Spirit. This is the way God communicates his word. It's through his Spirit. Now, these moved as the Spirit moved them, but now we have their writing. And it's an amazing thing when you stop and consider that here we are 2,500 years later, reading this word that is preserved exactly as it was given back in Ezekiel's day. With all time and changes, this is God's word. It's because it's the Spirit that is the author of this word. I'm thankful that it's so. These aren't just Ezekiel's musings like people do when they get done with their particular role in life before they leave. They want to write a book, their memoirs. This is not memoirs of Ezekiel. This is the prophecy of Ezekiel concerning those things that God raised him up to do. Now, we're going to find, as we read again through Ezekiel here, where it says here, the Spirit entered into me when he spake and set me upon my feet. That shows that this was the Spirit setting him upon his feet. Just like any of us, we could not stand before God were it not the Spirit that sets us upon our feet on the rock that is Christ Jesus. But we're going to see many times throughout Ezekiel where this expression is used, just like you see here in Ezekiel 2:2. If you just look over one chapter, we won't go through all of them, but you can see in verse 14 that expression again, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness. This is how the Spirit works. He is the creator, he's the sustainer, not only physical life, but spiritual life. And so it was important that Ezekiel here stand before the Lord and do what? Listen. Listen. And so we have a type of Christ in this as well, where it says the Spirit entered into me. Christ was given the Spirit without measure. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he, as a man, he was given the Spirit that he, though he were son, yet learned he obedience in the things that he suffered. So set upon his feet. None could stand before the glory of the Lord but those that the Lord gives that standing. A lot of people making light of what it is to stand before a holy God today when they ought to be flat on their faces before him. But here we have, like I said, a standing at attention to receive the orders from the commander-in-chief. Now, here are his orders, verses 3 to 5. That's why I said we'll probably not get further than this in this reading. Verse 3 says, and he said unto me, Son of man, So this is your second time. I send thee to a people just ready and eager, waiting to hear you. Is that what your Bible says? It's, whoa. I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. I remember when the Lord first opened my heart to Christ and taught me of Christ through the Scriptures, I thought everybody'd want to hear it. And I was excited because of what the Lord had done in my heart, but I found that the more I went out and talked to people, the more they rejected. They didn't want to hear this message. And that's still that way today. That's what would be unless God, by His Spirit, draws sinners to hear it. See, where preachers go wrong today, they're building all kinds of buildings and organizations trying to get people in, but it's not through the gospel. They've got basketball night, they've got activity night, they've got sewing night, knitting night. There's one congregation here not too long ago that even offered CPR classes so that people would come and they're going to preach to you and then we'll give you CPR classes. They needed CPR, needed the Spirit's doing the work in the hearts, what they needed. But without the gospel, they'll not hear. So this was the people to whom Ezekiel was sent. And as if verse 3 were not clear enough, verse 4, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. There's a reminder that they aren't even going to hear, even with the best illustrations that you might give. I used to think that if I could just lay out a good outline and give some good illustrations, people would hear. That's not what convinces sinners. It's Christ revealed in the heart. Because what? Impudent children, stiff-hearted. He said, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. You see how Ezekiel is a type of Christ? Because when he came in this world, he didn't find people ready and waiting. He came unto his own, and what? His own received him not. But, I love the little but of Scripture, but as many as did receive him, why did they receive him? He gave them the power to become the sons of God. That's what it says there in John 1. It's not that they were smarter than anybody else or they were able to figure it out. No. He gave them the power. And that's true here of Ezekiel. There'd be a remnant, but for the most part, the Lord's telling Ezekiel, this message you're going to prophesy, they're not going to hear you. But still go out and say what? Thus saith the Lord. And that's how every message ought to begin. That's how every message ought to be in the content. And that's how every message ought to be in the conclusion. Thus saith the Lord. That's what's missing today. People are not being taught of who the Lord is. This Bible, they grab it. They'll read this text and that. It's all about man. Trying to puff man up? No. Thus saith the Lord. This is His word. And then verse 5. They, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been what? A prophet among them. Just think about that. Whether they hear or forbear. That's not up to the preacher. It's not up to the prophet. That's up to the Lord. Whether they hear, that's going to be the Lord. If they forbear in the sense of reject, refuse, well, that's God leaving them to their own reprobate mind, is the way it's put over there in the book of Romans. So, here we find the Lord giving Ezekiel his mission to go out to this people. He's one sent, again, as a type of Christ. Christ is one sent. He's our great apostle and high priest that came into this world. And he was to go and declare this to the children of Israel. And you stop and think, well, wait a minute, where were they? Because Ezekiel here is already taken in captivity. Remember, we saw there were three times when Nebuchadnezzar came down and took people out. The third time was the final time when he destroyed the temple and the city. Ezekiel was taken out during the second exile. And here he is up there in Babylon already, and yet the Lord is saying to him, I send thee to the children of Israel. Well, where were they? They were scattered. that's exactly the case of every sinner that Christ came in the world to save. We're scattered. And it's the Lord, as a good shepherd, is going to draw each one of his own. Not everybody. Whether they hear, that's going to be what Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. Whether they forbear, that means that he never gave his spirit to them, even to be drawn to them. A lot of this is like what Isaiah was told. Same thing, prophet Isaiah, but only years before this. Isaiah, he was 150 years removed from Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a contemporary with Daniel, because you remember Daniel was also one that was taken out during that first exile. But collectively, what a negative picture. And I think of that, and I'm reminded of that every time I stand to preach the gospel, whether here or over the radio, that I'm preaching to sinners that have no ears to hear, no desire to hear. That's why, unless God gives them ears, they're going to turn the channel. That's what you used to do. Now I guess you just use your finger and swipe, go to something else. But here you can see they are the children of Israel, and yet, not knowing God, they're a rebellious nation, more like the Gentiles. In fact, that word in the original, it says to a rebellious nation, it's in the plural. What it's showing is this nation was dispersed among the nations. And why was it? Because they had been living like those nations anyway, following after their idols. So the Lord said, you want to live in idolatry? I'll put you in idolatry. He sent them off into those nations. Be careful what you ask. They'd rebelled against God, and they were impudent and stubborn children. But oh, that word, thus saith the Lord. It's the Lord that gives the power. But when he speaks that word, any of us that have ears to hear tonight, why is it? It's because he gave us ears to hear. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. But it's still, thus saith the Lord. It's not my word, it's the Lord's word. And he told Ezekiel, just like our Lord, he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. Never back down, never waver, never turn back. That's what he's telling Ezekiel. They, whether they will hear or whether they forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. How are they going to know there's been a prophet among them? Because truth never changes. It's not like being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Wherever you find a man that the Lord has raised up to declare this gospel, some have told me that. They said, I heard one of your messages you preached 30 years ago, and other than your voice sounding a lot younger, it's exactly what you're preaching today. And I say, thank God. That's the only thing I can tell you. It's the Lord. Truth never backs down. Truth never wavers. Truth never cowers. Christ didn't. He came to fulfill all things concerning his Father. So that's the beginning of the second chapter. And we'll look at the rest of the chapter next time, Lord willing. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. How we need it. We need to hear a word from you, a word of Christ, your blessed Son, the Son of Man, the man among men that came and lived a perfect life, laid down his life that sinners such as we are might be saved through his death. Thank you that if you've given us ears to hear and eyes to see, it's because of your grace. And even now I pray that you would open our eyes again and cause us to see more of his beauty, more of his glory, more of his work accomplished there on Calvary for sinners that he came to save. And we give you the praise and honor and glory in his precious name. Amen.